The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Oh yeah, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the weekend. It is Friday, November 30th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you so much for joining us here for our 101st episode, and it's a very special one because we've got two very special people in studio with us today, joining us right here in Portland, Oregon, Brandon Krenzler and Aaron Purchase, the mother and father of Brave Michaela. Thank you so much for being here today. You can say hi.
Oh, hi.
There you go.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a radio show. You have to talk. So we'll get to you guys at half past the hour. We'll talk a little bit about your story. It's just been blown up in the media, all about Brave Michaela, the 7-year-old leukemia patient who is using medical cannabis to help treat the symptoms and the problems that happen with anybody who's gone through cancer can tell you about. Also on today's show, in hour two, we'll be turning this feed over to Huffington Post Live at 4:40 Pacific. They also want to speak with Brandon and Aaron, so we will turn our feed over to them. I hope you stick around for hour two for that. Also joining us here in the studio, we have our studio engineer, Brian the Red, of course, hanging out. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Russ. How's it going?
Going very, very well. Tonight, later on tonight, we've got Herb Thrasher. He'll be doing the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, 2 hours of rock and metal at 8 o'clock Pacific time tonight, live. He'll also be calling in at 20 after for our Daily Toker Tunes. Today's Rockin' Friday, and he's got some great music for us from Whoa Fat. Okay, Whoa Fat, there you go. Also, we've got our headline news coming up right after this first break, and in the news today, all sorts of interesting headlines. We've got new public opinion polls on marijuana legalization to tell you about. A great story coming out of Oklahoma for Patricia Spotted Crow. You might remember her. In Illinois, they're having some problems with medical marijuana because a company wants a monopoly. And in New Mexico, Decrim is facing an uphill battle. We'll talk about that, and we'll go behind the headlines with some recent comments from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on the drug war and her opinions on legalization, and a little bit of a rebuttal, as it were, from former Mexican President Vicente Fox. All that and more is coming up on today's Russ Belville Show, a very special one. Thanks for being here. Tell your friends. We're at Radical Russ and at RB Show 420 on Twitter. You can follow our blog at RadicalRuss.com.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Five favorite stoners to smoke with. Oh, wow, in the that's a good question. In the industry. Okay, Red and Meth, yeah. Tommy Chong, Snoop Dogg, and the other one, man? Willie Nelson. Although I haven't smoked with Willie yet, he's next on my list.
Now it's time for our 420 headline news. I'm Russ Belville. New poll from Angus Reid. Most Canadians and Americans support marijuana legalization and expect it to be legal within 10 years. This from Hawaii News Daily and brought to us by Normal. A majority of adults in both Canada and the United States believe that cannabis ought to be legal, according to a two-country Angus Reid public opinion poll of 1,005 randomly selected Canadian adults and 1,002 randomly selected American adults. In the online survey of representative national samples, a majority of Canadians, 57%, and Americans, 54%, support the legalization of marijuana. 66% of those polled in both countries said they anticipate that cannabis will be legalized within the next 10 years. Respondents in the northeastern region of the United States expressed the highest level of support for legalizing marijuana at 61%, while those in the South voiced the least level of support at 51%, still a majority. Nationally, 65% of those aged 18 to 34 backed legalization, 49% of respondents aged 35 and older did so. In Canada, men, 64%, were more likely than women, 50%, to call for the legalization of cannabis. By contrast, American support for legalization was nearly equal among genders, 55% male support versus 53% female support. And from Politico.com reporting on a new CBS News poll that found for the first time since CBS News has been asking, 47% support legalization and 47% oppose it. Support for legalization of pot crept up slightly from 45% in September, the poll found. Partisan divides on the issue remain sharp. Two-thirds of Republicans oppose legalization, while 51% of Democrats support it. Legalization support is actually highest among independents at 55%. 59% of Americans think decisions on marijuana laws should be left up to the states, with only 34% giving the final call to the federal government. Support for medical marijuana is far less controversial at 83%, with even 76% of Republicans backing its usage. But Americans have their doubts about the effectiveness of medical marijuana laws. Only 29% believe most marijuana being dispensed through state-authorized stores is being used to treat serious medical issues. 53% believe most is being used for other purposes. Oklahoma woman serving 12 years for pot case released from prison, from TulsaWorld.com. Patricia Spotted Crow once faced 12 years in prison, but on the morning she was released on parole, it took less than 20 minutes to walk free. She was released Thursday morning after completing the community corrections level portion of her sentence required by Governor Mary Fallon as a condition of her parole. She entered prison on December 22, 2010. Spotted Crow's 12-year prison sentence for selling $31 worth of marijuana garnered widespread attention after her story was featured in a 2011 Tulsa World series on women in prison. She was originally handed a 12-year sentence in a blind plea before a judge for selling a dime bag of marijuana to a police informant. It was a first-time offense. But because children were in Spotted Crow's home when she was arrested, a charge was added for possession of a dangerous substance in the presence of a minor. Governor Fallon agreed in July to approve parole for Spotted Crow upon the unanimous recommendation of the Pardon and Parole Board. From CapitalFacts.com, proposed medical marijuana monopoly wreaking havoc on Illinois legalization bill. Illinois State Representative Lou Lang has decided not to call medical marijuana legislation until next week. The Skokie Democrat told the Associated Press on Wednesday he's not certain he has the 60 votes he needs for passage. Supporters of medical marijuana are blaming their latest setback in the state capitol on two North suburban businessmen. The pair plan to become Illinois' largest suppliers of medical marijuana, and some claim their quiet backroom maneuvering has blocked passage of a bill to legalize it. Libertyville businessman Jim Merlot told Fox 32 News that his company, Medponics, has hired powerful lobbyists in Springfield only because he wants to ensure that when it's legalized here, medical marijuana is grown and delivered safely to those who need it. Others fear Medponics wants to corner the market. And finally, from El Paso Times, marijuana bill in New Mexico could be snuffed out. A draft bill to simply lessen penalties for marijuana possession in New Mexico received a mixed reception during a contentious legislative committee hearing. The bill for people 18 and older, the proposal calls for no penalty or fine for possession of an ounce or less of marijuana. Possession up to 4 ounces would bring a civil penalty and fine up to $100. The bill would criminalize possession of larger amounts, establishing a misdemeanor and fine of up to $1,000 for possession of 8 ounces or more of marijuana. And that's your 420 headline news for today, Friday, November 30th, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines with remarks from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on the drug war in Latin America and a response from the former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox. Stick around. This is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005.
Thanks, Dan Michaels. Welcome back. It's time for us to go behind the headlines.
The Russ Belville Show.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And, of course, I was reading up on Politico.com on some remarks that were recently made by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She's currently in Latin America, and she was asked by the Costa Rican ambassador to the United States. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said she did not believe that domestic drug legalization was the answer to cartel violence that plagues Central America as a result of the drug trade. When the Costa Rican ambassador asked whether the drug war was winnable, Clinton stressed that legalization is the wrong approach. She said, quote, "I think when you've got ruthless, vicious people who have made money one way and it's somehow blocked, they'll figure out another way," she said. "They'll do kidnapping. They'll do extortion," end quote. Now, this is a particular form of drug war insanity, of reefer madness, a little piece of the prohibitionist playbook that I like to call criminals gonna be criminals, right? This is their theory that, well, you guys say that if we legalize weed, the cartels will go away, but you know, if we legalize weed and they can't make money on it, why, they'll just kidnap people and extort people and they'll do other terrible things. And I don't think they really think about what the meaning of that statement really is. The meaning of that statement is, we've got terrible, as she said, quote, ruthless, vicious people who will do kidnapping and doing extortion. So if we don't give them some make-work benign crime in selling marijuana, they'll spend their time doing awful things. What she's really arguing for is a price support for kidnapping, torturing, extortioning murderers. That's what that really breaks down to when you think about it. We can't legalize marijuana because then they'll go and do worse things. Well, yeah, criminals gonna be criminals. Absolutely, of course, they're going to be criminals. So my question is, why do we want them running the marijuana market? Why do we want them profiting off of every dime bag that's ever sold? How about we take that profit and we reinvest it in the form of taxes and fees into our state coffers and help people get health care and help, you know, fix some potholes or something instead of buying gold-plated AK-47s for Mexican drug lords? So in response to that, I just wanted to see what other leaders in Latin America might want to say about this. And the 420 Times, 420times.com came up with a great series of quotes, an interview with former President Vicente Fox of Mexico. And these are just the quotes from Vicente Fox. And as far as I'm concerned, this is a perfect answer to Secretary of State Clinton. Quote, "The situation of being in between has brought in war here in Mexico that I don't understand. Why did we assume this war? That war should be done only in the United States," Vicente Fox said. "It's extremely bad. It's violent. It's costly. It's extremely harmful. And more than anything, it goes right against the hope of youth in Mexico. In the case of Mexico, the budget is very limited. So unfortunately, every cent, every dollar that has been increased in this useless with no results war is against the budgetary education of the project for promoting jobs or other things. So it's a war, but it's taking us nowhere. It's a war, but it is totally useless, a total failure, like the war invoked by the United States and the government of President Nixon. 40 years has gone by, and an entire war is a total, absolute failure." Now, President Fox goes on to say it's just not fair. Quote, "This game is not even. Big change has to come about. But legalization becomes a strategic social positive and a real solution to the problem." Legalization becomes a strategic social positive and a real solution to the problem. End quote. He continues, "The president and the U.S. government is way behind its public opinion. And the legal public opinion, because of the referendum in California, 44% of Californians now accept and are for legalizing the use of marijuana." It was actually 46, but okay. "At national level, the latest Gallup poll shows that 50% of public opinion, 50% of U.S. citizens agree to marijuana being legalized. So the only one who sustains the prohibition, the criminalization, and the penalization of drug control is the U.S. government. And it's totally incapable of enforcing the law. You have in the United States personalities like President Clinton, the secretary's husband, like President Obama, who also tried a drug once. If it's even once, it's a crime. Personalities, the Einstein of the 21st century, Steve Jobs, who in his book confessed that he used drugs for a period of 10 years. So how come the nation that sustains, the government that insists in prohibition and criminalization, is not capable of reducing consumption and holding the drug on the border and eliminating the cartels that openly operate in that nation? Unfortunately, we, very few remaining nations that are still holding a total prohibition to the consumption of drugs, that is led by the USA and just a few other nations, the majority of nations, including Mexico, we do not penalize consumption. In Mexico, in Portugal, in Spain, in most of Europe, using drugs, consuming drugs, it's not a crime. It's a crime to sell and to distribute and to produce. So the government of the U.S. just holds on to the past, and it does not listen to the voice of its own history. You solve the problem of violence, and then what has left is just a health problem. This is what happened in Portugal, in Holland, in other nations, the Netherlands that has legalized the use of drugs. Prohibition doesn't work. Let's move ahead, away from the paradigm, away from the dogma, and let's put our feet to the ground. U.S. public opinion has already done that. I don't know why the U.S. government is so narrow on the issue. And when they asked President Fox whether he thought reelected President Obama would make any legalization path, President Fox says, quote, "I don't think he would even try. I don't know why this dogma sustained by the U.S. government and the Republicans say the same. It's a dogma for them. And prohibition doesn't work. The prohibition of alcohol didn't work. It's clear that marijuana harm is much less than cigarette harm. It kills much more people smoking cigarettes than smoking marijuana. It's not so harmful to your health. Now, this product you're mentioning, yet that's the consequence of using marijuana. And yes, you're losing kids the opportunity to be in school because the government sustains this prohibition. I want to appeal to parents, fathers and mothers, to school teachers, to school deans and directors. It's our responsibility of us teachers, of us parents, to educate the kids on how harmful drugs are and why they should not use them. But in the very end, according to the founding fathers of the United States, government does not have the right to interfere in our moral, in our ethics, and in our conscience. That's former president of the United president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, who during his term had so many of his countrymen killed, and now it's a number approaching 60,000 dead in Mexico because of our drug war. They get it in Latin America. We're getting it here in North America. It's time for our politicians to get it in Washington, D.C. Oh, goodness. Look at the time.
Well, you know, normally we would be having a safety break, but we've we've got some company here.
Yeah, we have company, so we're going to be on our mind, our P's and Q's. We'll be right back.
Okay. Smoke for us.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, I'm cannabis.
Non-alcohol.
Do you know that I can be used to treat a number of physical and psychological conditions like depression, Huntington's disease, and osteosclerosis?
Your mother's an osteoporosis.
I can also be used to help those who are abusing our friend over here.
You know what the problem is with you? You think you're better than everybody else. Hey, look at me, I'm weak.
Yeah, I actually do prefer to be called cannabis. I'm illegal.
I'm illegal. Because weed makes you stupid.
Five of the last seven major party candidates to run for president, three of the last seven vice presidential candidates, and the last three presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Well, it's the last day of November, and I hope you're all ready to rock, because Herb Thrasher is on the line. Herb!
We're all ready to rock, dude, and yes, it's the last Friday in November, and getting ready for the big holidays in December, and I'd like to say hi to Michaela and all your guests in the Roller J Studios today.
Right on. So for today...
Let's get ready to rock, man. You guys got some guests. Let's make this fast. So we've got a great show tonight for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour at 8 o'clock. We're going to have a special episode, Metal Blade Records. They've been celebrating 30 years all year. And their final show tonight is in L.A., and we're going to celebrate that with them and play some of the bands that they have planned and just all the bands that have gone through this 30 years to make rock and heavy metal. And so we're excited you guys join us tonight at 8 o'clock. RadicalRust.com, TheWeedBlog.com. And so today for Rockin' Song, we have a band, we played them before, and they've been on the Thrasher Show, and it's time to bring them to Russ Belville Show.
Yes, sir.
And they're called Low Fat, and the album is called The Black Code. And the song is Lost Highway, and they're just riff masters, man. A lot of rock, southern fried, blues kind of infused, you know, psychedelic doom stuff. There's just all kinds of music in there. They're on Small Stone Records. They're from Texas. They have a website. They're actually on Facebook right now with one of those Kickstarter pages, and they're so close to getting to their destination. So you guys go check them out. They got great art, man. Check out their art. Got great T-shirts, and it's a great album. So you guys go check it out. I hope you guys enjoy this song. Keep rocking. Join us tonight, and shout out to Michaela.
All right, let's get it on. This is Whoa Fat with Lost Highway on your Rockin' Friday Daily Toker Tune.
Yeah.
with Lost Highway. Catch more rock tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific, at the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour.
Actually, I haven't had a chance to talk to Mr. Osborne before the show, but we had a great discussion about it. I just asked one of the folks in the show, Bob Back, I said, well, what is Louis Armstrong going to do? Of course, he's always going way up.
Way up.
Is that the highest you could get?
Well, I don't know.
Well, why don't you let me say thank you? I'm only sorry you weren't going to be here with us longer. I wish you could have gotten higher, but why don't you go up and say hello to the folks?
Well, I'll get higher next time.
Take a look at those empty rappers.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint case? Sure would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Oh, lie to don't hide it.
Lie to don't hide it.
Just lie to don't hide it. Fire up right now.
The cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 28 minutes to the top of the hour, and joining us live in studio, two very special guests. We have Brandon Krenzler and Aaron Purchase in the studio. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. All right. Thank
you
so much.
Glad to have you here, and get those microphones nice and close to you so everybody can hear you out there in studio audience land. And if you haven't been following the show this week, you may not know the story, but if you've been following mainstream media, you sure have, because Brandon and Aaron are the parents of Brave Michaela. Now, I first became aware of Michaela during the Meth Girl billboard ads that came out, and you, Brandon, filmed a little video. And is that the first that the Brave Michaela story kind of started getting out there, or had you been doing this before?
Yeah, that was the first that the public kind of picked up on Michaela. She had a really strong feeling about those billboards, so I went ahead and recorded her and let her speak out her opinions about it, and I see that it helped get them taken down, that's for sure.
It sure did. We appreciate that very much. Aaron, what's it been like going through this? Because now, since that point, you know, now you've been interviewed and turned up in Huffington Post and ABC News and CNN, and you got all these media outlets calling you. What's it like? How do you feel about all this?
Well, I didn't quite expect it.
Yeah.
We were asked to do an article with the Oregonian, which is our local paper because we live here in Portland, Oregon. So, and as soon as that article was published on Oregon Live, it hit the AP and went global.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it, and it's kind of a little overwhelming.
The knock on the door in the morning told us what happened.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened? You got knocked. Who was knocking?
One of the local news stations started ringing the doorbell first thing in the morning the next day. And
wow.
Yeah.
It's been on us ever since.
So who are some of the people that are trying to get in touch with you now? I mean, they want to hear your story.
Ask him.
Well, I've been dealing with a lot of calls coming in. I kind of took over on the media side of it. We've had calls coming from, well, the Dr. Phil show contacted us, Dr. Oz show, the Anderson Cooper show. KGO Radio in San Francisco, the Newsweek. We're actually doing an interview with them tomorrow.
Excellent. Huffington Post.
The Huffington Post, of course.
Which will be today.
Later on today.
So we're going to do that tonight. That's going to be interesting.
ABC.
She did an interview
Fox.
With ABC.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm not... I obviously am not interviewing with everyone who... I'm not interviewing with everyone who contacts, but...
Well, we feel really privileged that you guys came on the show. I just had to ask, you know, it's kind of a similar question. How do you feel about all the attention that you're bringing to the issue of cannabis use as a medicine for all ages?
We feel privileged to be able to be part of it for sure. We've spoken out a lot in our past about it, and we continue to do so today, so that gives us a new platform to do it with.
That's great. Another question. So there's a meme going around, a picture of Michaela online saying, you know, a gram of cannabis oil a day helps keep the leukemia away. And is that an accurate kind of dosage out there? You know, some people might be kind of concerned about a child taking that kind of, you know, but I mean, if it's helping.
I can address that for sure. Michaela does take 1 gram of cannabis oil a day.
That's excellent.
But she did not start at that dose.
Oh, no.
And she started a very, very, very small dose.
I started her with 0.07 of a gram.
That really did
the trick with her. And it got her out of that.
That's about the size of a grain of rice.
Yes. Yeah. It took a while to get the dosing down right. It takes a stronger effect, as with anybody who uses cannabis. At first, it is stronger and you have more of an effect.
You're activating all your endocannabinoid system. It's going to have a serious effect at first.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so she has become tolerant. And of course, we increased her doses because that is what's best, I feel. And I feel that the science that has been done supports me on that matter. I work with some of the professionals out there that are experts in cannabis, and they feel that what I'm doing with Michaela and what we have decided on with the dosing is working great for her.
It does. And she spends every day excellent. A happy girl. You'd never know she had leukemia if she didn't have her hair the way she does now.
Yeah,
she's just the way she used to be. It's stunning. It's amazing.
I've seen some of the pictures. She does just look like a happy, bright little girl.
The stoned feeling they discuss about in the articles that everyone's reading about. Yes, in the beginning, when we very first started her on cannabis oil, which was on July 24th, it took a while for her to become tolerant. And she did have more of a psychoactive effect, which was not such of a negative thing because all the other medications that they would have given her since she has never been sick and never had painkillers, morphine or
oxycodone, Vicodin.
Yeah, they would have all had an effect on her psychoactively. They would have all had some type of an effect.
Yeah, see, that's where people are losing sight of the fact. They're saying, oh, it's so horrible. She's on a gram of cannabis oil. She's going to have brain damage. She's going to, you know, she's going to regress in school and all that. And, you know, you think about it. You put these kids on morphine, oxycontin, oxycodone. You mix it in with some other anti-nauseas and antidepressants. I mean, what do you got? You got a kid that looks like a zombie. No wonder they're not doing anything. No wonder the parents have such an easy time. They're doped up all the time. I'd rather have cannabis than that kind of doping up any day for our daughter, bar none.
Agreed.
Yeah. That stoned feeling she doesn't get anymore. And the funny feeling she speaks about is
she loves to tell jokes.
it's funny laughing. Like, she will just laugh uncontrollably at the most silliest things.
It's amazing. It's funny. She tells
jokes.
That's
what a little girl should do.
As if she was an adult. I mean, she has great sense of humor. She loves to keep the peace and have everybody smiling. It's awesome.
So the funny feeling is definitely a good feeling for her.
And I was just, you know, going to say also that, you know, the 1 gram, that's really not a very large dosage
either.
Because it's like I've talked with people who said that they've cured other types of cancers by taking, there's one person actually said that their mother took up to 27 grams a day.
Yeah, we were just talking with
Rick Simpson cannabis oil.
We were just talking with some people last night that there's a study out there that they have actually some other pediatric patients taking up to 3 grams of this very same oil to combat other diseases. So, I mean, it's not new.
Yeah.
It just got big.
There we go. Well, let me ask something about, you know, you mentioned that you started this on July 24th of this year, right? Just recently. Michaela's been dealing with this since before then, though, right? So had she been under other pharmaceutical regimens, and what was that like, and what convinced you to try cannabis?
She was diagnosed on July 14th with leukemia. We found the mass, the pediatrician found the mass in her chest on the day before, July 13th, and she had been sick since the beginning of May. So she got her Oregon medical marijuana card 10 days after being diagnosed with leukemia. She had been getting treatment at the hospital.
She was on prednisone and a couple of chemotherapy drugs in the very beginning to help break up the mass, and it was really taking a toll on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so she had 10 days without cannabis and with 10 days chemo.
On the other medications.
Only, yeah. Yes.
Okay, so in that 10 days, was the effect of that 10 days what convinced you to switch to cannabis, or you had already thought we'd want to do cannabis in the first place?
Got it.
Okay.
We already knew.
Okay, so you already knew.
I asked for the letter from her because most pediatric specialists and medical doctors in general will not certify patients for the program. So these every patient is required mostly to go to another clinic.
One
of the clinics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I asked for the letter that stated her diagnosis to take to the clinic the very day after she was diagnosed.
Yeah, I asked for a letter of stating what she was. She had his.
Yeah.
I think the doctor may have thought we're using it for employment or something else.
As you've been going through doing these media interviews, of course, media always exists to, especially mainstream media, wants to create conflict. And I've seen some of the shows where they'll bring in somebody, some supposed expert who says, "Oh, I think this is a bad idea. This is terrible." In the way that these stories have been written and shown on TV to portray your story, are there any particular points that you felt were unfair and you'd like to, rebut here and give it a chance to say, "Hey, you guys, that was wrong. You shouldn't have said it that way"?
Well, I haven't quite had time to check on, because citing the original source was the Oregonian article, is where most articles are getting their information from. Mm-hmm. And the author of the Oregonian article used Dr. Sharon Levy from the American Academy of Pediatrics to comment on cannabis use in children. And I haven't had time to check on this, but I heard rumor that she is part of a child rehabilitation center or group, some type of something like that.
Okay.
Which I feel, obviously, of course, her opinion is very...
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but let's pick a more neutral source, would you?
I really hope to not see them try to end children getting cannabis medicine, because you will take my child's medicine away and she will suffer.
Well, that is something that
I don't want to see that. And that's one of the big things.
I've heard has a bill he's putting in before our House of Representatives that it does make it extremely hard for people, not just children, but other patients, to keep procuring their medications, and it's sad. It should be stopped, That's our daughter's medicine, too.
Yeah. One of the bills that I've heard tale of is to make it more difficult to get children on the program by requiring, four visits a year instead of one.
Yeah, every 3 months with a licensed state of Oregon pediatrician, and you find me one pediatrician that doesn't work for a clinic or, a larger provider where they're contracted, that they couldn't do anything like that, regardless of their own views. I mean, tell me one doctor that could. Mm-hmm. One pediatrician.
Yeah. So you'd basically be putting Michaela and her parents and all the other, what was it, like 58 kids that are on the program here in Oregon?
58, something like that.
And we're going to take a little break here in a second, but I do want to get into the topic of, how, what the controversy supposedly is and how some people in the media are trying to push this as, something untoward or, a trick or something going on here. So we will get to that after we take a little bit of a break. We're here with Brandon Krenzler and Aaron Purchase, the parents of brave Michaela, who is fighting leukemia very bravely, as the name suggests, and using medical cannabis to deal with the chemotherapy. We'll talk more about that right after the break. Thanks for joining us. It's the Russ Belville Show.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers. because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
All right, welcome back. It's 47 after the hour. We're continuing our conversation with Brandon Krenzler and Aaron Purchase, the parents of brave Michaela, who is fighting chemotherapy and leukemia and all sorts of stuff a seven-year-old girl shouldn't have to go through. Her story was featured on The Oregonian, our state's largest newspaper, and it's been picked up nationally by just about every media outlet there. We're so happy you guys could be here in studio. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So I wanted to get into, you know, some of the ways that this story gets portrayed because, you know, I read stories, you know, I do headline news every day, and coming through the headlines, there's, you know, about once a week, there's some story of some idiot parent that went and, you know, took a picture of their two-year-old smoking a bong or something and posted it on Facebook, did something stupid. And they always want to try to use this against, you know, marijuana legalization or even medical marijuana to say, you know, what about the children? Oh, my God, what about the children? Have you felt that? Have you felt like people are trying to portray that in your case? Like you guys are being irresponsible or just somehow potheads just trying to get away with something? And you know, what do you say to that? What's your reaction to that?
They don't, they're not in our shoes. Yeah. They don't have a child who is ill. They don't have a child with cancer undergoing chemotherapy weekly that makes them sicker than any child or adult should ever have to be. So I take the criticism with a grain of salt because most everybody who criticizes doesn't know what it feels like.
Yeah.
To see that or have a loved one go through that. Maybe they do, but...
It's not like we're letting her smoke a bong.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
She's not a seven-year-old sitting down in a circle passing the peace pipe to all the old villagers. She's eating a gram of cannabis oil to treat herself because she's sick.
And she drinks cannabis juice and she...
Yeah, she loves juicing cannabis leaves. She drinks it every single day. We all do it together. It's amazing. It's good for you just as much.
Yeah, and just for people out there who are listening, the juicing of cannabis does not contain psychoactive ingredients.
Yeah.
The psychoactive part is only activated when there's heat applied.
Exactly.
And transforms the cannabinoid acids to deltas.
It is pure goodness, and not to mention it has no side effects, whereas and it gives you so much energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The U.S. awesome. Government wouldn't have a patent on cannabinoids, you know, exactly. if it didn't have some kind of use.
Here we go. Yeah. So, you know, with respect to this, the treatment that you're doing here with the chemotherapy, you were cited in the paper, Aaron, as crediting the cannabis treatments as not just dealing with the symptoms of chemo, but actually helping to fight the cancer itself. And it's kind of controversial. There's a lot of people feel both ways on this. How do you feel about that, about the cannabis oil and the treatment of the cancer?
Cannabis does fight cancer. We all know that. I mean, not everyone knows that, but I'm not saying that cannabis can cure every single person's cancer, because probably it can't. But it has been, it has been proven, and there are studies, and I have a study specifically done on rats, which that's how they study humans, and it says that cannabis causes apoptosis in human leukemia cells, and I've read the entire study, which now I believe has been removed from PubMed, but it's proven, and I've watched this oil help Michaela's cancer go from not responding well to chemotherapy to nothing. I've watched it cure skin cancer, gone.
Michaela had an antibiotic called Dapsone that conflicted with her body systems for a bit there, and it was starving her cells, her red blood cells, of oxygen, if I remember the doctor's explanation of it. Well, during that time, she received a month off of chemotherapy, and there was no relapse, none. During that whole time, she was still on her cannabis therapy. There was no relapse. I mean, these kids relapse. This is early in treatment to be taking a month off of chemo, and they were warning us about it. They wanted to do another bone marrow biopsy to check to see if any leukemia had come back, but the doctor figured out it was the Dapsone causing the problem. But during that time, they waited for it, and there was no relapse. I mean, that's got to show something right there.
It's remarkable. Now, we did mention how there are, you know, over 54 or some odd other people under the age of 18 who are using cannabis in Oregon for medical purposes. Have you had a chance yet to meet other parents of kids using cannabis?
I have talked to a few. I've talked to the Hydes, Cashy, you guys know him, on the internet. I've talked to a few other mothers via Facebook, internet, but I haven't met any.
I don't think anybody from Oregon has contacted us yet. I think the other children in this state that are under the age of 16 are a little more under wraps with their parents about it. I mean, it is a very controversial subject that a lot of people have an opinion on, and most people aren't willing to stand out there and take the, you know, gunfire from it all, from all around. So you got people that are, you know, they have your back on it. You got people who disagree with you, and it's a lot of people aren't willing to do that.
One of the issues that people that don't have a whole lot of understanding about this have a problem with, go ahead, you can cough, I've got your mic down, you're fine, that if they don't have a great understanding about this, one of the things that gives them pause is they can't get around the fact that there's recreational pot smoking and there's medical cannabis use. And so when they hear of people who have been maybe in their past recreational pot smokers, and then they hear a story of, I'm giving my child cannabis for medicine, their minds go into this little flip warp kind of thing. They can't understand that. So can you explain to them why it is that, you know, there's nothing wrong with someone having been a, you know, someone who had used cannabis in the past? That does not necessarily conflict with it being medicine for their child.
Well, it is just a plant. It is. It's just a plant that grows in the ground. The stigma behind it's just horrible. You know, you learn about cannabis from experimenting with it for most people.
There's a way to present it, and there's a way to explain it to children and to people in general. There is a recreational social aspect to cannabis, and I feel like adults over the age of 18 or 21, whatever, 18 would be the best.
You can smoke cigarettes. Why not smoke,
you know,
cannabis?
Adults should be able and entitled to use it recreationally if they feel fit and responsibly. But there is a very medicinal side to cannabis too, taken in medical ways, just like other medications that people get from physicians. in capsules. They don't have to smoke cannabis to have it. There's a way to present it medically, and it's appropriate for children. It's appropriate for everyone.
There's a recreational side of it because, you know, it's no worse than alcohol. Alcohol kills people every year, and cannabis does not. Why can't there be bars for people to go after work and smoke if they want to? That's up to them. For the children, it's not appropriate to smoke. Of course, you don't want to smoke around them. Potentially causes lung damage, maybe asthma. Who knows? It's smoke. But there's a place for the medicine for children, too. And we're showing this to America.
Mm-hmm. One of the fears some parents have that, you know, don't have personal experience with this is if we go forward with marijuana legalization, how will I tell my kid that they shouldn't be doing it? So if this weren't a medical situation with Michaela, and say she's turning 13 and, you know, getting close to the experimental age, how should parents talk about this to distinguish there's medical use and there's, you know, a use that should wait till you're 18?
The same way they do alcohol and cigarettes. The same way they do sex. There's an appropriate age for everything when you explain it to your children. It's nothing. If they legalize, it's legal, just like alcohol, just like cigarettes. You don't want to do it before you're a certain age. That's how you tell your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, explain to them what it is.
Well, we talked about the Andy Olson, you know, the representative here in Oregon, and other attempts here from some opponents of medical marijuana to restrict the program and get stricter, stricter, stricter. And of course, that's always to keep people out who supposedly shouldn't be smoking pot. So is there a solution to medical marijuana that will work, or are we just going to have to legalize this?
Well, any solution for medical marijuana would be to allow the doctors and scientists at universities that have the technology and equipment to study it so we can get some concrete answers, first of all. Or mm-hmm. second, just legalize it and watch the people. The public will show you what it is.
It needs to change at a federal level.
That's what's holding it all back. Doctors and scientists can't get it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it should be legalized, but there needs to be a medical program because they're not going to legalize it for children. And I don't think that they should legalize it for normal, healthy children,
sure,
of course. But for ill children, they need to make an exception.
Mm-hmm. So perhaps medical marijuana becomes a juvenile
side treatment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, I feel that the program and the way it's set up is I'm happy with what we have had to do. It's a little expensive for a family to have to afford every year to pay for their cards, but also it gives us the privilege to be able to treat with cannabis. I don't think that they should.
We're
change
introducing
it right
to parents a form of cannabis that is acceptable to give your child as medicine in extreme conditions of health. That's not smoking a joint. That's amazing.
Yes. Thank you so much, man. You've given so many people so much good information on this. And we are just running out of the back of this hour. But before we go, Brian's got some things he wanted to hand off to you here. A couple of
Yay.
Pink Leaf Project
wow.
shirts.
Nice.
So enjoy those.
This one's a medium size for great. Michaela. It's the smallest one I had at the moment. But just tell her she can grow into it.
Yeah.
And then we've got... an extra large women's and extra large men's there.
Cool. Oh, thank you.
Thank you for the show. I hope those work out for you.
Yeah.
And we are moving into hour two here. And hour two is our live call-in hour. You're welcome to take live calls if you want.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
But we're going to go into hour two. And also in hour two, at 40 after, Huffington Post Live is going to take our feed. And so we are going to go live on HuffPost Live from Rolla J Studios. So hour two might be a little weird because there might be an extended period of us just sitting there.
live via live.
We're
exactly.
Waiting on them to connect with us.
Yeah. That's right. We'll get it all figured out. But thanks for joining us here on this Friday edition of the Russ Belville Show. And again, stay tuned for hour two. More talk with Aaron and Brandon. And the Huffington Post Live people, their segment coming up at 40 after. Stay tuned later tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific time, for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. We're going to bring you the best in metal, and Herb Thrasher will be here in studio live for 2 hours of metal, starting at 8 Pacific. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we have the newest Big Daddy Fink Funky Roller Rink, dedicated to the ladies. Show enough. Check it out. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.